Anyways, here's Kirsten.
I love you.
Thank you so much.
That was amazing. I went and ran to get my Kleenex because clearly I am going to be crying today. That was, you have no idea how you just spoke life into me. I walked in and I saw Jill this morning. I walked in and ran straight to the bathroom, afraid I was going to have an accident and smell like pee. And so I was like, they already smell enough pee and poop. These are mom's moms. They do not need that from their speaker. So I ran into the restroom to avoid an accident. Do you guys still do that? I gave you guys the pee test last year where we don't stop and go to the bathroom. We need to go to the bathroom. We as moms, this is an issue among all of us. It was that situation again. So I need to go to the bathroom, so I'm running over there, and I just go in there, and I sit there, and I'm washing my hands, and I look over, and there's this little sign that says, you are loved. And I was like, I love this church. I feel loved in the bathroom. I feel loved when I walk in the mop's room. I feel loved when I'm introduced. I feel loved when I see Susan. I feel loved when I see your babies. It's just, all is right with the world with me this morning. Except for this speaker thing, is I'm going to like go like this a lot because it's attached to the back of my head. But we're going to be fine, right? I'm just going to go ahead and take the shoes off now because we're just going to, I'm not going to be a poser anymore. We're just... Here we go. Why fall off the stage? There's no point in that. You guys have, she's already told you my deepest, darkest secret, that I'm a recovering alcoholic, which I thought I could never tell women at a church. I didn't know how they'd handle that. So now that that's out of the bag, what am I wearing heels for? As I fall over, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Jesus, take the wheel. Today, you guys, I'm going to fall this way. I don't even know what's happening. Okay, I do know what's happening. This is what I had for breakfast. Coffee, a protein shake, and kombucha. What is that? What? I don't even know what's going to happen in here this morning. So, God bless the front row. I came here to talk about Christmas as a mom. Amazon and Target, or Jesus and Mary. What do you think when you just hear the topic of that? What do you think? Let me tell you from the very start. Tell me your name, Robbie. Robbie, you and I are gonna be friends because I have an updated PowerPoint in my hands. So when there's a change in slides, can I just give you some direction to flip things around? Thank you, Robbie. Thank you for grace. But the next one is the correct one. This is a no-shame presentation, you guys. I am not here to shame you about purchasing on Amazon Prime or going to Target, the love spot for all of us as moms, right? I mean, that is where we go for our therapy. That's where we go for a break. Most people would call it an errand. We call it a hobby. Just like to go to Target. That's my hobby, alone. There's no shame in what I'm going to talk about when we're talking about Amazon or Target or Mary or Jesus. There's no shame in any of it. And I don't want you to think that I am up here saying there's a right way to do Christmas. There's a way you should do it. There are things you shouldn't do. Homie, don't play that. I do not. That is not my game. That is not my style. But I'll tell you, I have a bias. I have to be honest that I have a bias, and I want to tell you that I want you to be intentional. That's my goal. My goal is to help you to be intentional as you step into the Christmas season. When you guys step into this Christmas season, it's already begun. Have you guys already gotten the catalogs in the mail? Have you already gotten all the emails? Like, are you getting like 3 emails a day about all the things, right? And let me just do a temperature check of the room. How many of you are like, it is November 12th, why are you saying the word Christmas? It is pumpkin spice season. No, there is still a Thanksgiving holiday coming up. Get your red and green away from me. A few of you. How many of you are like, I've been waiting for Christmas since Labor Day. Oh, let's talk about it. How many of you are like, I live in San Clemente. I would like summer 365. You can bring me your red and green as long as it's 85 and sunny and I can go to the beach. How many of you are those people? I don't even care. I just want to be able to have sunshine, right? Okay. We're doing it now, and I'll tell you why we're going to have this conversation now. It's because it's already started, and I want you guys to be intentional before the train takes over and decides what kind of Christmas you're going to have. I want you guys to have some time this morning just to think, how do I want to spend my time? how do I want to spend my energy and how do I want to spend my money this Christmas? Because I think what I have found as a mom with a 10-year-old and an almost 7-year-old is I will live Christmas by default if I'm not intentional. And I've lived a lot of my life by default, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to choose. I want to choose the life that I have, and I want to choose the things that my family does and experiences. But I'll tell you, I have this bias. I have this bias that I do hope that you will be more thoughtful of Mary and Jesus than maybe you were in the past. And as I look back on my journey, I'm not going to give you 75 Pinterest ideas that you should or should not incorporate, but what I'm going to share with you guys is what my motherhood journey has been like as I have celebrated Christmas as a mom. What it looked like early on, how changes I've made, things I planned for this year, so that you guys would not get the list of things, but you guys would see behind, God bless you, you would see behind the mind of a mom as she's making decisions, so that that might be helpful for you as you're making your own decisions. And I have to say, I'm going to talk a lot about decision-making with Christmas. Let me just go ahead and say, I don't think this much about a lot of things. I literally had an engagement to talk about this. I planned to think about all these things. My children go to a school that I never really researched. Like, I send them to a private school. And our neighbors were like, my kids love this school. You should check it out. I went and took a tour. The kids had been there for 9 years. I never looked at other schools. Like, my whole kids' education, I did no research on. We just got a new dog. We got a designer dog, one of those mini golden doodles. They're super cute. It's precious. I did no research on the dog. I talked to two people that had done a bunch of research, bought the dog based on the research. And yet Christmas, you will see, I have been very thoughtful about. So I just want to go out there and say, think about the things that you need to, or decide maybe you're somebody that's like, I'm like Kirsten, man. If you did the research, I'll just take what you say about that and I'll just use that, you know? Some of you are like, I am going to dissect everything she said and I'm going to decide what is right for me. Either one, you're thinking about it. Either one, it doesn't matter. Use the process that's best for you. But that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. The one with Matthew 1:23. As I think about Christmas, these are my favorite things that I'm going to share with you guys that you guys have probably been exposed to. However you're coming at Christmas this year, if you're coming at Christmas and you're like, I grew up in the church, I know all the stories, I had flannel graphs when I was a kid, I know all about it. Or you're coming and you're like, I'm at Mops for the coffee and the break for my kids. I didn't want it to be at a church, but it's at a church, so I'm here. So I haven't even thought about Christmas, and don't give me some big old preachy thing about Jesus. You're welcome, and you're safe in this conversation. It is not going to be like that kind of a conversation. But I do want to share some of the things that have been meaningful for me as I think about Christmas. This is one of the verses from Matthew. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus is Emmanuel, is God with us. We'll come back to that. One of, you probably have seen this on Christmas cards too, and in other things that are advertising about church. This is a verse that says, for unto us, oh, the next one, Robbie, sorry. For unto us a child is born, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are names that were given to Jesus in the Old Testament. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As we are looking forwards to Christmas, I want those names on your heart. We're going to talk about those a little bit later too. Because I think for most of us, in the mom zone that we're in and in all areas of life, from talking to literally so many hundreds of women, what I have noticed is that most of us need a wise counselor. We need a mighty God. I don't need a bumper sticker Jesus. I need a mighty God. We need an everlasting Father. And Lord, do we need peace? Oh my gosh, we need peace. I'm going to go back and forth a little bit from the heavy, even sometimes the hard, and then we're going to go back into happy and joyful and things that are a little bit above that heavy level. I think one of the reasons I do that is, A, that's how I'm wired, but two, because I want to be cognizant that that is how life is. Life is heavy and hard, and it can also be happy and joyful. Have you guys experienced that? I didn't always know that when I was a new mom. I kind of thought it was one or the other. And the longer I live, the more that I experience things, I realize, you guys right now, when we have kids under the age of 5, it's the hardest time in our marriage. We're the most sleep deprived. We're figuring out ourselves. We're figuring out our kids. It is one of the hardest times in marriage. But oh my gosh, isn't it the happiest too? When your kid gives you a kiss for the first time, oh, my whole body responded. When you hear your little one say, I love you, mommy, you're like, all is right with the world, right? When your husband does the dishes for you, you're like, glory, 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 right? And so there's this thing, this combination of like, in one day, any given day, there's going to be the heavy and the hard, but there is going to be the happy and the joyful. And both can coexist. And even as we talk about all this, we're going to talk back and forth, okay? So I'm going to pull you out of the heavy for a second. And I want you guys to think, what is one of your very favorite Christmas memories? And these are some prompts that might help you think. Maybe it was receiving a gift. Maybe there was a gift that you got that just meant everything to you, and that's one of your favorite things. Maybe it was giving a gift. Was there a time that you gave someone a gift and it is one of your absolute favorite memories? Was it an event? An event you went to, an event you hosted, an event you participated in, or an experience? Something that you remember. I remember only because of pictures, my brother and I dancing as little kids in our jammies at Christmas time. And I remember that, and it's a memory, A, because there's a picture, and it prompts me, but two, because there is this joy in that. My brother and I are not close, and so I think of that, and I think, man, there was a time when we were close. There was a time when we were all together enjoying each other, and that's a sweet memory for me. Is it food? Is it food? Is there a food that you make every year? A food that when you smell it, you're like, this is Christmas. Or when you taste it, you think, this is Christmas. Or is it a person or people? Are there people? Is it Jesus? Is that what you think of when it's Christmas, baby Jesus? Or is it your family or your extended family or someone else? What is it? So take a minute, and I want you guys to think of one of, I hope you have many, but what are one of your favorite Christmas memories? Does everybody have one? Who needs more time? Okay, turn to someone next to you, or in threes if you need to, and I want you guys to share what your memory was. Okay? Share with them, and just tell briefly what your memory was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, let me get your attention. Has everybody shared or do you need to switch? Has everybody shared or did only one person share? That would have been just one person sharing at my table. Did everybody get to share? Okay. Think about what category, if you put it under one of those categories, what was your memory? Is it receiving a gift? Was it giving a gift? Was it an event or an experience? Was it a food? Was it people or a person? Is there anyone that'd be willing to share what their memory was and which category that fit under? Go for it. Awesome. Thank you. How do you feel when you do that? What is the feelings that you have when you think about that and when you're there?
I think joyful and comfort.
Joyful. Awesome. Thanks so much. You just reminded me that my husband is Hispanic and we play lotería. Yes, don't I sound like I am bilingual? Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Yeah, blue shirt. I love that. I relate to that, sister. The reason I married my Mexican husband is because he had a big old family. And it was usually me and my brother that did not have a sense of family. And I wanted all the people all the time. And then I wanted to come home and be alone. But I did want to have the option, right? Thank you for that. Thank you. And so what does that mean to you? What are some feelings that gives you?
It's like joy. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yeah, fullness, family. Awesome. Thank you so much. I feel like there was someone over here that was brave. Yes, talk to me, sister. Yes, I love that. Togetherness, tradition, legacy, now to share that with your kids. I mean, how sweet. What a sweet, don't your kids love when you tell them a story about your childhood and they're like, I don't understand how you were a kid, but like, tell me more. And then tell me a story about me. That's usually what your kids are like, right? I love that. Is there anything else? Anybody else want to share one? Go for it. Sweet. How sweet, too, to have like 15-year-olds cuddle up with their parents and want that sweet time. How nourishing is that? I think that's so precious and such a fun tradition of connectedness and the magic, right? It's like come be together first and then then the magic starts, right? Which I love. I think that's important. Thank you for sharing. You guys, think about the stories we just heard, and I imagine it's kind of like this at your table too. How many things involved Target or Amazon? Just think about what we just heard. I had no idea what you were going to share. Not one person said, I got the toy of the season and I was so happy. At least no one, maybe it did happen, and that's okay if it did. I'm not judging. But I'm saying, look at what was shared, right? It's so much deeper. It's so much more long-lasting, right? And they weren't even stories that were about Mary or Jesus. No one was like, well, one, maybe the Christmas. No, that's even not. No. None of them were about even a church service or whatever. One of mine is that we would go to the midnight service and where they had the candlelights, and we could hold candles as little kids at midnight. I still bring out those candles for retreats and things like that because I loved it so much. But this is what I want you to think about. That next slide, if you don't mind, Robbie. You guys, we have 18 Christmases with our kids. What story do you want them to tell? What story do you want your kids to tell? Figure that out. Think of the deeper, higher level things, and then make that happen. Let what the story is that your kids will tell be the deciding factor, perhaps, of how you spend your time and energy and money this Christmas. I have a girlfriend who grew up with a single mom too, and they were in extreme poverty. And she had, when she woke up on Christmas, there was from extended family millions of presents. And I was visiting her in Bend, Oregon last month, and I was telling her about this talk, and she's like, back off from my presents. I had a ton of presents on Christmas, and my kids are having a ton of presents on Christmas. I was like, girl, no shame, no shame zone. Get your presents. But for her, what she does is she hoards presents all year and doesn't give her kids like a ton of stuff all the time. And so that is meaningful for her. So it doesn't really matter the specific thing. It's what is it for you, for your family, that you want to either pass on from your childhood or you want to create something that's new. I'm going to share with you guys some of the things that I went through in my journey when I, as a new mom. The next slide. So Christmas cards. Who does Christmas cards? Who does Christmas cards with the fancy tree in the background and the coordinated clothes and the professional photographer and the stress and anxiety of it all? And then makes everybody smile for just a second and then goes back to crazy. Is that how it is for you guys too? Absolutely. I love Christmas cards. I come from a Christmas letter writing family. I've been told now we have Facebook, you don't need a Christmas letter. Whatever. So, but I remember the pressure of that very first year. My oldest daughter, who's 10, was born October 2nd. So I did a Christmas card announcement /birth announcement/ Christmas card and sent it out really early. And I stressed over it. Oh, I want the right picture because she's gorgeous. How am I going to pick out of all these pictures, right? But I want all the right wording, and I want everything to be perfect. This is my first kid that I get to send an announcement about. This is Christmas, like all the pressure, right? And then they send them to me, and they send them wrong. Now what do I do? Is Christmas gone? Is the fact that my daughter was born gone? What do I do with this? Right? I mean, it was like, so we fixed it. We fixed it all out and we sent them all out. Every year it was a pressure thing again. Oh my gosh, I want to get the 50% off sale. I've got to get it on after Thanksgiving. But who are these people that already have their picture taken before October? Like, I'm not that well organized. Are you kidding me? No, I don't have any clothes. No, I don't have a photographer. No, I don't have an available date to do this. But I really want to send these Christmas cards. So every single year, I'm like a freak about this, and it stresses me out. Last year, I didn't send a Christmas card. And Christmas happened. Christmas happened. But then I got the Christmas cards in the mail, and I was like, I love getting Christmas cards. I love when I do the old school addressing of the envelope. I love addressing the envelopes and thinking about those people who I haven't seen for a while. And thinking about the fact that I hope that they know when they get this Christmas card, it's not because I send out like 500 or whatever, because I don't. But it's because I love you, and you mean something to me, and I want you to know what's going on with us. And so this year, I realized I want Christmas cards. That's important to me. I want to put it in the budget. I want to plan ahead. We already got our picture. And so, but we did it at a wedding, so it's still on the cheap, so it fits for me. And so I'm ready for the after Thanksgiving sale, Shutterfly, here I come. And all is good. It took me 10 years to get to that place and to sort through all of it all that time. And now I've got my game plan. Who has an elf? Who has an elf on the shelf? God bless the elf on the shelfers. How many of you used to have it and retired that stinker? Anybody did that? Okay. When I was in MOPS, we had something that was called the Magic Elf, and it talks about Jesus. There's little cards for every single day leading up to Christmas, and it talks about the arrival of Jesus. And I'm like, this is before Elf on the Shelf even came out. I loved it. I got one as a fundraiser at MOPS, and we started using it. The first year, I'm moving the elf around. My kid has no clue what's going on. She's too little, but I want all the traditions. I'm going to make it all fun all the time. You're going to have all the good stuff, little girl. And so I'm going to make myself crazy to give you all the good stuff. I stuck with it. I kept doing it. And my kids now, they really, really like it. But I've lost a lot of the cards because 10 years to keep 24 little pieces of paper is a challenge for this mama. So we just fake it, you know. And there were so many times when at the middle of the night, I'd be like, oh, I forgot to move the elf. Oh, I got to get out of bed, go move it around, you know. And I just said, my phrase for Christmas and for all of life is grace upon grace. If the elf forgets to move, I will come up with a creative story as to why the elf didn't move. I will not shame myself as a mama because I've ruined Christmas for my children. I will just describe that I think you guys must have somehow touched them, or you got up, did you get up out of bed last night? Did you? Something happened. I don't know. And now I'm going to blame it on that puppy. The puppy must have gotten out. And when the puppy got out, the elf froze because the elf saw the movement in the room, and that's probably why the elf didn't move. I mean, I will come up with the stories. But I will not ruin my Christmas because of a stinking elf, right? No. Elf, I'm in charge of you. And we will make it a fun thing, right? I have a friend who, I swear, she's a teacher. All year long, she plans the shenanigans for her elf. It's epic. You should follow Jennifer Disney on Facebook just to see what she comes up with. It is so awesome. I would never, ever for a second tell Jennifer not to do Elf on the Shelf. I would say, you go, girl. I love sleeping in and sleeping at night and then just looking at your pictures in the morning and laughing with you. Don't stop doing it. It's so much fun. She loves it. She is a fun mom. She is a creative mom. She is dedicated to her kids, and she reveals those things with her Elf on the Shelf. I can reveal those things and not have Elf on the Shelf, right? But how do I want to do that for my kids? I get to pick. I get to decide. That is a picture of Fashion Island's Christmas tree lighting. I'm a mom in Orange County. Obviously, we need to go to the Christmas tree lighting at Fashion Island because it's like epic Orange County. So we go, my kid clueless about the whole thing. My husband aggro over all of the crowds, does not think this is fun, is not in the Christmas season. And I, after year one, was like, we're scrapping this bad boy. No. How many Christmas tree lightings does a child need? One or none. Not 17. But in Orange County, you could go to 17. You could go to one on the sand. You could go to one at your church. You could go to one at the mall. They're everywhere. Now we do one at our church, and that's it. And look at how my calendar is free. Look at how I'm stress-free. Go to the Christmas tree lighting or don't. It doesn't matter. But figure out if it's working for you guys, right? I was Christmas crazy for so many years. I was Christmas crazy, and I started to say somewhere along the way, I don't think this is what Christmas is about. Somewhere along the way with all of these Pinterest ideas and all these other ideas I got from another friend and things I would read on blogs or whatever, I somehow lost the Christ in my Christmas, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. I think I need to take the reins back. Here's another one of the gingerbread. Pinterest. God bless it. She said it was going to be easy. It's an easy gingerbread. No, it's not. It's a germ fest. It is a germ fest. When you get multiple kids making a gingerbread house, they are licking the knives, they are licking their fingers, and then they're putting their hands in all those different kinds of candies. Are there any germaphobes in the room? I am not a germaphobe, but I cannot handle this. This is a stressful environment for me. So I had to squash it on the gingerbread house. But did you know what? They have Trader Joe's gingerbread houses. Do that or don't. It doesn't matter. I was like, we'll go in Trader Joe's, and my kids like, Mommy, a gingerbread house. Yes, it is. No, 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 no. Because I will not be a nice mom if you do that. And you start to lick your fingers and put your fingers, it's not going to be pretty. So no, mommy knows her limits, child. Keep walking. The next one too is this, have you guys seen this one where you wrap a present for every day leading up to Christmas? Isn't that stinking cute? Unless you have two kids. I saw a mom who just has her second one. She's been doing this for like the last 2 years, maybe with her oldest. And now she has a second one, so she's picking up all these books to wrap. She's like, I want to do it for my little girl too. Like, Mama, stop the madness. Let me give you a suggestion. And I find out that I ask her, and I find out her son is born on odd days, and her daughter has an even birthday. I said, sister, you wrap one present. You don't want to wrap 48 presents before Christmas even happens. Don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to yourself. I said, you wrap 24. Sister, you like this tradition? You go for it, Mama. Wrap 24 presents before Christmas even arrives. And but you have him open it up on his odd, because it's odd birthday date, and she opens up on the even days, and you just saved yourself 24 presents to wrap. She looked at me like, I just don't know. I don't know. I think I want to wrap 48. I'm like, call me in 5 years. I'm like, go for it, sister. I don't even care. But I think about, what is the long-term effect of this? Do I want to do this insanity for the next 7 years? Because my kids might really like it, and I might want to feel the pressure that I need to do that. Think about it before you do it. The next picture. Oh, that one too. I thought that I wanted to decorate my house and my tree and my table with a mixture of Joanna Gaines, Martha Stewart, and a DIY feel. No, I'm not. My kids are going to grab at everything. Why am I going to do any of this? This is not even realistic. And so I'll tell you more about how it all started to change too. The next one, this is my life, really. Kind of. So I am doing all the things, and my husband is doing what Chip is doing. He is not engaged with this. This does not a happy mama make at Christmas or any other season of the year. Is this true? Is this true for you guys? Do you guys do all of the Christmas and then they just show up? Yes. You can decide if that's okay or not in your family. You can decide. You can ask him to do stuff. One of the things that we started to do is I read this somewhere on a blog. Our kids each get a dollar for each person in the family, and my husband will, they'll just go for mommy. My husband will take my two girls to the Dollar Tree, and they will pick out a gift for me. They will each pick out something worth the dollar. The first year they came home, and they got me a candle and a back scratcher. I've never felt so known and loved by my children. And they were so excited because they got to wrap it, and they got to do it all themselves, and then I did the same thing for them. And guess what my girls say? What is Daddy like? Like, this little tradition is very telling. This is important. We need to keep doing this tradition because you need to know what your daddy likes. And you need to be able to acknowledge it in a way that is tangible. And so we're going to keep that one, you know, because it's helpful for him to be involved and it's helpful for me to be involved and any budget can handle it. And then the girls also get to think about their sisters and they get to hide from each other and figure out what they're okay, what are you? Okay, oh, and I'm not going to say which one I'm buying, but they're like sneaky about it, and they think it's so much fun because they get to feel like they're actually participating instead of us doing it all. Another one, well, I'll get back to that. So can you flip to the next one? I'm going to go back to Halloween. This is something that we did in our family that we changed things around a bit that maybe will give you some ideas too. Everything I'm saying to you works for all holidays. Arbor Day, Valentine's Day, Christmas, Halloween. This is what it looked like when we did it for Halloween. I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I don't like it. Christmas is my favorite. I don't like Halloween. But I have two little kids, and I'm not going to be that crazy person who's like, I don't like it, so we're not doing it. I'm sorry. That just had a lot of judgment. I'm sorry. I need to erase. I don't want to be someone who doesn't engage in culture. I want to be someone who engages with culture in a way that is congruent with my values. So when Halloween came, and I know I have my kids, I recognize this is an opportunity to engage with culture as a Christian instead of remove myself from culture as a Christian. And I said, what are the values that our family holds? And I came up with these: light, community, and generosity. I realized when my kids are little, I don't want my kids to be all about Halloween to be like, I want all the candy. That's what I like about Halloween. And I did not want them to talk about what they were going to wear for their costume from Labor Day until Halloween. That was not the conversation I wanted to have for my kids. I didn't want them thinking about that. So I said, what could I do instead? And so we started doing, and if you can flip to the next slide, we started doing chili and cider on our front porch. So now my kids get excited about people coming to our house, and how many people are going to take the chili? How many people are going to take the cider? What candy are we going to give to them? My kids are scoring with this. All of our neighbors bring them like See's candy boxes now. My kids have more candy than ever because they're really not trick-or-treating that much, but they keep getting all this from our neighbors. But we actually ended up on this video for Trellis about neighboring well. You can check it out if you want to. You don't have to. The point is, what is it that's important for your family? Those stories you shared will give you a glimpse of what's important to you and to your family. Follow those things. Follow that as your guide, and then figure out whatever the specifics look like for your family. It's going to look different for everybody, and there's no shame about what you choose to do or not do, or what somebody else chooses to do or not to do. With this picture, can you go back to a second to Miss Joanna? Miss Joanna Gaines. The thing about Miss Joanna in that picture is Chip is napping and she is decorating. And she has a smile on her face. I don't know if this is for the camera or if this is really Joanna. I cannot do that in my real life without feeling resentful. So I have to figure out what kind of Christmas can I have so that, because you guys, aren't we not the temperature gauge for our families? We are the temperature gauge. If you've never, no one's ever told you that, you are the temperature gauge for your family. What you decide and how you, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, that's the truth. How you engage with Christmas will determine how your family engages with Christmas. So do you want to be anxious and stressed out and neurotic and hurried and busy and tired? Or do you want to have a heart of Christmas when you go into this season? Decide what that will look like. I can't do this with a happy heart. I have to figure out what can I manage in terms of activity, in terms of errands, in terms of finances, in terms of emotional energy. Some of us, when we think of Christmas, we're like, I have to go see my family. And that alone is a heavy burden. Some of us don't have a family. I know you guys have military moms here. Some of you are like, Christmas is going to be lonely. We're out here with nobody. Like, there's a heaviness sometimes that can come. And we have to, like, acknowledge that, too, and then figure out, what do I do with that information? How can I have a happy-hearted Christmas as much as possible, right? So if you'll go to the next slide for me. This is what I want you guys to think about. If you go past that to the what is your family value, I want you guys to talk about this for a second, too. Go one more. When you go to the Christmas one with the stars on it, that's it. Thank you. I want you guys to think about what is your family value. Now, those are tasks and events. Those are categories that we talked about. What if we change those to something else? What if giving gifts became generosity? What if receiving gifts became honoring people in your life? What if it became celebration? What if events and experience became moments and memories and stories that you'll retell? One year, my kid really wanted this, like, loud toy. It was, like, the toy of the year. And it was very stressful to get it, but I got it. It was extravagantly, ridiculously expensive, and I resented doing that. My kid never plays with it, which also makes me a little irritated. The next year, I changed my mind. I said, I'm not doing that anymore. And we bought our kids tickets to go with me to a speaking engagement in Atlanta. We went to Atlanta. My kid has never talked about that stinking toy. But we talk about Atlanta all the time. What are the events and experiences that you guys can have which will tell a story of bonding and together and family and laughter and joy and adventure? What are those things that you could do? Maybe you want to add more of those. Food. Food can be the smell and senses of your childhood. Whatever it is. And you don't have to make it. My mom's family is Scottish. I can buy shortbread, even though my grandma used to make shortbread. And my kids can still have the experience. Like, we can do it in an easy way, but think about that. One of my kids' favorite things to do is to go drive around and see the Christmas lights, and we drink hot chocolate. We don't have to go to Starbucks to get it. We could. We can just make it at home and put their own little garnish stuff on there, and it becomes a memory when we're all doing it together. There's so many ways to make it doable and easy for whatever, you know, whatever it is that you, for your lifestyle, for your budget, for your everything else. People, which people? Which people are the people that you have to be with at Christmas, and which are the ones you want to be with at Christmas? And could you have the courage to modify your calendar appropriately? That's a big one. That's a big one. The toxic people in your life would like you to come for 48 hours and stay. But for me, when my toxic person in my life says, yeah, you should come, you should stay, can't do that. Can't do that. We will come over. We will leave before you start drinking and things get really uncomfortable. And it'll be a good holiday for all of us. That's how this is going to go. Because I don't have to be trapped in that anymore. I can make different choices. Say, let's do a brunch. Let's do a Christmas brunch before you all get out of control and I get really anxious, right? So there's ways to do that. And then also, you know, Jesus. Where do you want Jesus to fit into all this? And what might that look like? The next slide. I started all of this thinking when I had my youngest daughter, who's almost 7. Who's pregnant now? I see one pregnant mama. Who else is pregnant? I love that you guys are pregnant at Christmas. Do you feel like it's different to be pregnant at Christmas? Have you thought about Mary at all? Like, I just started thinking about Mary and baby Jesus in a different way when I was pregnant. My youngest is born on December 7th. But one of the things I remember about her pregnancy is that we had speed bumps in the community that we lived in at the time. Pregnant mamas, speed bumps. Speed bumps, keep them away from us. I thought my husband was trying to torture me every time we would drive in or out of the community because of these speed bumps. I mean, I would get like mad, like he was purposely trying to torture me. And then I would remember, I'm in this state because of you too. So first off, you caused this pregnancy and now you're driving over speed bumps. And I would just get loony and hormonal. But I started to think about the next slide. I'm like, dude, Mary was on a donkey. And I'm complaining about 3 speed bumps. I looked it up. She traveled like 90 miles, like for days, 9 months pregnant. And me, Orange County mama, I have 3 speed bumps. I can't handle it. And I started thinking about it, though. And I started thinking, man, what is Christmas about? Like, man, I get so wrapped up in my Orange County life, in my Orange County comforts, in my Orange County calendar, and my Orange County priorities. And I started to kind of unravel some of that and say, man, what is this holiday really about for me? And what's there? Like, what? Like, let me lean into that. And I started to, if you pulled up the next slide, that verse I shared with you guys earlier, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's Matthew 1:23. I mentioned, I speak to women all over Southern California, and I'm amazed at the hard and heavy that they're carrying. And they'll come up to me, and recently I had someone come up and say, I'm having an affair for 6 years. My family's about to break up. Another one shared a cancer diagnosis. Another one had the loss of a baby. Family strife and conflict. As people are going into Christmas, it's not always happy and easy and joyful. And when I think about the reality of the number of women in this room is not exempt from the reality and the heart of life. There are things that every single woman at the table is going through. And although we come for a respite from our kids and from life, and we come into this place that feels like love the minute you walk in, even if you just walk into the bathroom, it's so healing and it's so important. And yet, the heart is still there when we leave. And I look at this verse and I say, man, I think there's so many of us that need God to come be with us this Christmas. And I wonder for those of us who are in the hardest times and those of us who aren't, those of us who just want to feel more of that closeness of what Christmas is about, what if we looked at Christmas as a time when Jesus was going to come be with us. Be in the midst of where we are, in the trenches of motherhood with little kids who love and adore our kids and also want to pull our hair out on the same day. You know, who are trying to keep it together. For me, when my kids were in the youngest ages, I just wanted to stay married, and I wanted to keep them out of the emergency room and the urgent care. Sort of like my goals for the day. And because anything over that was just simply ambitious. That was it. If there was food on the table, glory be. It's been a good day. But I mean, my hands were full with that. I had a lot I was still working through as a new mom. I'm not the same person I was when I had my kids. There's been a lot of healing that came. But until that healing came, I was holding all that stuff inside, and it was leaking out into my life. And I know that I'm not alone with that. And so wherever you're going into Christmas, I want to tell you, Jesus Emmanuel still comes. He still comes to us. Wherever you are in this season, he will come. If you slip, go to the next slide for me. I love this song. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. I love this song. And as I dive into my soul and healing my soul and letting God heal my soul, that phrase, let the soul feel its worth, has really resonated with me. So I've gone back to this song and I've looked at all the lines. And I think about how, oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining, that those stars are still cutting through the darkness in our lives. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. On Christmas, we celebrate the Savior's birth and the fact that he still saves. He is still saving us. Till he, Jesus, appeared and the soul felt its worth. When was the last time that your soul felt its worth? When was the last time you helped another person feel their soul's worth? A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices because a new and glorious morning comes. There is light in the morning, but there's also light breaking through the darkness. And so I have a question for you. Where are you at with all of this? As you get ready to move into Christmas, where are you at? What is stirring in you? What are you thinking about? Where are you at as you're coming to Christmas? What is it that you need? And what is it that you're willing to give and ready to give? Some of us are in a season of needing to receive all that is described in that song. Some of us are ready to give. Some of us are going to do both. I want you guys to just sit with that for a minute and just kind of let that all absorb and allow the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to you. I don't want you to let that feeling go because it's important. But I'm going to give you what is happening in the midst of what is real in you. I'm going to give you the other side so that you're aware of what's going on outside. Can you put up the next slide? This year, advertisers will spend $3.7 billion on advertising. It's already begun, and it will continue through Christmas. Do not underestimate their priorities for your Christmas. Just be aware. You don't have to be afraid of it, but don't be naive to it. Be aware of it. This graph is so reflective of my life. It says that 72% of parents look to holiday sales to save money, but it actually may be costing more than they think. So the left-hand column is people who went after those sales, all those emails and all of those flyers and all that stuff, and said, oh, I'm saving money. I'm saving money. I just saved you $200 because it was on sale. And really, we didn't. We didn't. We spent money that we maybe shouldn't. Maybe we did an emotional decision. And so what this says is 62%. Okay, so can you read that? Okay. So the one on the left-hand column is people that took advantage of holiday sales, and the ones on the right are the people that didn't. They chose not to go to the store and not give their money away. 62% spent more than their holiday budget versus 53%. 17% spent more on themselves than their kids. Girls, how much do we spend on our kids? Whoa, we spent more on ourselves than on our kids. That is really dangerous. And you guys, we're in Orange County. Amp all of this up by at least 10%. Am I right? Okay. 54% spend more money on items for themselves, 36% didn't, and then 48% spend $1,000 or more, and then 28% didn't spend that much if they didn't take advantage of those sales. And we're in Orange County. I don't even think that $1,000 for Christmas is obnoxious in Orange County at all. In South Dakota, probably. In Orange County, it is not. And this is a no-shame slide. If you want to go home and get your husband a Tesla and your kid a matching Tesla, go for it. Go for it. I don't care. But choose it. Choose it. Don't let the big old advertising budget giants come in and say, Mama, you need this. You need this. You need this for a happy Christmas in your house. You need this, and your kid needs this, and you're saving money, so you should buy four of them. Yep, and just tack them away. Don't let that happen. The next slide. This is from 2018. Holiday credit card users anticipate it will take them 3.2 months to pay off their holiday charges this year on average. 3.2 months. Those who used a credit card for their 2017 holiday shopping say it took them 2.3 months on average to pay off those balances. So in 2018, it took longer to pay off Christmas debt than the prior year. So it's getting worse. They also found that almost 40 million Americans are still paying off 2017 Christmas debt in 2018 in December. Wow. Do you want to have a Christmas that's focused on Amazon and Target or Mary and Jesus? And what do you want your January and February to look like? I mean, think about it. Do you want to enjoy December and feel good about it, and then feel good about it in January and February too? Like, it's like a long-term plan here. You got to think about it. There's a slide that says what kids really want for Christmas. Robbie, could you throw that up for me? Thanks so much. This is what your kids want. This is what your kids want for Christmas. I don't care what age your kids are. They want your availability, right? Has anybody ever had their kid tell them, Mommy, put down your phone? You want a Christmas gift for your kid? Put down the dang phone. Wrap it in a bow. Availability. They want our availability. They want us present with them. They don't want a present. They really don't. They want our availability. They want your attention. Do you know what your kids want? Eye contact. Mommy, are you looking at me? Mommy, do you hear me? Mommy, do you see me? Mommy, look at me. They want your attention. Full attention. They want your attunement. Mommy, are you with me? I see you looking at me, but do you hear me? Are you planning your Target Christmas list? Mommy, what are you doing? What are you thinking about right now? Do you really want to be on social media right now, or are you listening to me? And our kids use a lot of words sometimes, so that's a gift for them. And they want us to have an attitude of Christmas. They do not want us resentful that we're all getting dressed up to go to some other thing because we didn't say no, or that we're stressing out about the budget because we're spending more money than we need to because we're feeling like we got to please everybody and we forgot it was never about that in the first place. So these are the things that will help you be intentional about your Christmas. The next slide has a picture. Is there a picture? Yeah, and then that's it. So how do we help our little ones experience Christmas? How do we help them get into the Christmas story and experience it? We've got to prioritize the things we spend our time and our money and our energy on in these coming months. and do things. I love that you guys are doing Operation Christmas Child. We were driving down the 55 yesterday, and the Tustin Jewelry Exchange has all lit up with Christmas. It's awesome. I love it. I don't have a problem with that. And my girl said, Mommy, is it like that everywhere? Like, does everybody have that? And I'm like, oh, baby girl, no. Nowhere else in the world is like Orange County. No, no, baby. It is not like that in Haiti. It is not like that in South America. No, baby, there is not a jewelry store with millions and millions of dollars of jewels that people will buy for Christmas with Christmas lights all over it. It is not like that in most places. And then I talked about how some places don't celebrate Christmas. She's like, well, then what does Santa do with the presents? And I'm like, Baby girl, that's why you do Operation Christmas Child at your school. You get to be Santa for kids who don't know about Jesus in cultures that don't know about Christmas. You get to have that spirit of generosity just like Santa does. You get to be the one who tells them the real meaning for the season, and you get to pick out some special things that'll help them feel the love of Jesus in that Christmas box, because not every country knows about Jesus. And I'm already setting her up, because we do Santa, but I know they're coming at the age when Santa's going to be gone. And I don't want the magic of all of that to go away. But if I change it and I put in the values of it, that dog my kids just got is what they've been asking Santa for like 7 years. Santa doesn't bring the big gift. Santa doesn't bring the big gift. I bring you the big gift, or your sister brings you the big gift. Because Santa's going to go away, and I want the connection that's going to last. So Santa's going to bring you stuff. He's going to bring you a toothbrush. Oh, brand new one. He is going to bring you the conditioner you need for your hair. He's going to bring you some lip balm, because Santa always brings the lip balm. He is going to bring you a couple of things. And I don't even do the like three gifts from the three wise men. I don't do any of that business. But Santa is not the forefront of our Christmas. He's there, but he is not the thing we're doing, right? Maybe you guys could go serve the needy. Like when Jesus came, this is what I'm thinking about. Jesus comes. He comes on Christmas, but why did he come to this earth? He came for relationship with us. And when he came for relationship with us, who did he hang out with? He hung out with the broken and the needy and the rejected. He came for the sick. He came for the ones that were that just, like, they were at the end of themselves. And he said, come with me. He drew them near him. He came for the ones that were broken. And so where might you be Jesus to other people in this Christmas season? Where could you and your family lean into not all the fancy of Christmas, but lean into who Jesus came for at Christmas? Maybe you could help a single mom that doesn't have a Christmas tree or money for that or for kids' gifts. Maybe you could help a battered women's shelter also, or something else like that. What is the thing that you could do that would bless somebody else, that would take us out of the world of me, 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 and think about what Christmas could be for other people, right? Another thing, if you're like, you know what, I heard you, Kirst, thanks for the message, I'm sticking with Amazon and Target. It's all about the gifts, I'm gonna keep it the gifts, and I'm okay with that. Could I encourage you to consider a fair trade purpose church? Kind of a purchase. So fair trade means they will pay someone in another country a fair trade for their goods, and they will help, most of the time it's women in third world countries, so that they can give their kids clean water and clean food, and they can provide a wage that will help educate their kids. Maybe you'll do something like that, Noonday Collection. I think there's a million of them. Google it, you'll find them. That would be another great way to do it too. Something like that where you'll help. Maybe we could sacrifice a little bit for ourselves so that someone else could have a little bit more this Christmas, right? That next slide is the big picture of all of Christmas, you guys. You've heard probably John 3:16 before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God gave, we give, Jesus sacrificed. Maybe we that our Christ followers might consider sacrificing at Christmas too. Jesus came close to the broken, to the needy, to the poor, to the orphaned. What would it look like if we allowed Jesus to come to us in our brokenness and our neediness, in our poverty, in the places where we're orphaned? What would it look like if we looked at Jesus this Christmas and we said, God, would you be my wonderful counselor? Would you be my mighty God? Would you be my everlasting Father? Would you be my Prince of Peace? What if we leaned into that part of Christmas? If you have never considered these things in your Christmas before, I want to invite you guys to linger in this part of the space for your discussion and really delve into it. When you go outside of this room, this is not the conversation you will see happening in most other places. But this is a time and space. I know in my life, MOPS has been a time and space where I am encouraged to be the mom I want to be and the wife I want to be and the friend I want to be and the person I want to be. So in this discussion time, I hope you guys will lean into that. If you are listening to all this and you're like, man, we don't even do anything about Jesus. Like, Jesus has never been a part of my Christmas. If you want to talk more about that or you want to pray about that, I'm going to hang out in that back corner. So if there's anything that resonated that you're like, I want to talk more, feel free to come over, and I would love to talk or pray with any of you guys. There are discussion questions on your table, and then we're going to come up in the end when it's time to wrap and do a raffle and pray you guys out. Let me pray for you guys now, and then we'll lead you guys into discussion. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for the gift of your Son and, Lord, all that he means to us. Father, I pray for hearts that would receive who you are, what you came for, Father, and how your presence in our life is designed to transform us and transform the world for your glory. Father, would we lean into things in little, small ways that will have a big impact in our families, in ourselves, in our marriages, for the legacy that we leave for our kids? Lord, would you give us the courage and the bravery to follow what our heart's desires are for our family for this Christmas? Help us to do it guilt-free, without shame, but with intention, Lord, with intention and with courage. I pray for the time these mamas connect. Would they be an encouragement to each other? Would they be able to laugh and enjoy and also be brave and courageous together? Pray all these things in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.